From the central coast of California, across the nation and around the world, bringing you conscious living through positive thinking. It's time to turn the lead in your life into gold. It's Good Vibrations Radio on Radio Monterey.
Well, hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation, right here on Radio Monterey. Now, quantum physics tells us we're all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the owner-operator of Radio Monterey, bringing you information unfiltered, uncensored by the corporate media. Visit RadioMonterey.com, take a look at the shows and the hosts, Tom Hartman, Randy Rhodes, Stephanie Miller, Nicole Sandler, David Packman, as well as many of our local and unique shows, not only Good Vibrations Radio, but Wild Ride Radio, Outer Limits Radio, and Ringside Boxing Show. Visit RadioMonterey.com to become more familiar and get the information that helps you make better choices in your life. Magic for Life is also the promoter-producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair, which is coming back to the Monterey Fairgrounds October 29th and 30th. So it's close to Halloween, Samhain, All Saints Day, All Souls Day, the time when the veils between the worlds are thin. And that means only one thing. It's time to have fun. So come in a costume. Come as who you might have been. Come as who you might become. Come as who you are. But it's the Rhoda Psychic Fair, October 29th and 30th. Visit rhodapsychicfair.com. Find out about the upcoming events. There's the Litha Fair in Santa Cruz this coming weekend. There's the virtual psychic fair every month. There's the quarterly preview. There's many other events going on. So get on the mailing list for the rhodapsychicfair.com so you can stay informed. Well, we are at the end of July. This year is rolling. It is just moving on. And July is the first month of that manifesting segment of the year. So we've had the first 6 months of the creative cycle. Now we're into that manifesting cycle. And we're headed in August into that month of self-love. And Kirilani shared with us a lot of information about the power and energy of this week and the month coming up on Tuesday. And that was replayed on Wednesday, and you could hear it again Saturday night. But a real couple of highlights are this weekend, she said, is a portal of transformation. So it's a time when we have the ability to shift from everything that we've been doing into where we want to be, where we want to head. One of the things that I found challenging, both with myself and with other people, is the impatience. We're willing to do something for a day or two, or a week, or maybe two. But then, if we don't see those immediate results, we start relaxing back our energy, our effort, and our intention. And the person who told us very clearly about keeping a focus on our intention was James Allen. He wrote his book in 1903, As a Man Thinketh, taking the title from chapter 23, verse 7 of Proverbs, where he said, which says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We become an expression of what we think about most, where we're truly focused. Our reality is a direct outcome of our thoughts and actions. And our future will be a direct outcome of our present thoughts and actions, not our past. So in Day by Day with James Allen, James Allen's words have been carved up into a little segment for each day of the month. So for yesterday, he shared with us, identify your vision. The vision that you glorify in your mind, the ideal that you enthrone in your heart, this you will build your life by. This you will become. So what is your vision? Does it change from day to day? Do you keep wanting something different, something new, or looking just slightly askew or different? Imagine if you were actually placing an order through Amazon or through some catalog service or in a store. And today you wanted it gray with a V-neck. And tomorrow you decided you really wanted navy blue with a crew neck. And then the day after that you decided it needed to be a button down with a European collar. You keep changing your order, and that's going to change what appears, because ultimately you're not developing a vision of where you really want to head. And for today, James Allen tells us that our thoughts create our behavior. So cause and effect are as absolute and undeviating in the hidden realm of thought as in the world of visible and material things. So really what he says is when we look worried, we become worried. When we scrunch up and make an angry face, we become angry. We become manifestors of whatever is coming forward by how we behave and act. And if our thoughts are on behaving and acting balanced and centered and focused on our intentions, we'll take actions, we'll display through our body language and our words anything that focuses in the direction of our vision. So he wants us to know that we have to not just think about how or to pay attention to how we're thinking and what we're saying to ourselves, but also how we're acting and behaving. These are important things to creating that new image, that new vision, that new world that we want. And I've been paying attention to those conventions. I haven't been watching them because I cannot allow myself to be inundated that way. But one of the things that I will say that I'm coming away with is I am literally astonished at the need for people to hate people. I don't care whether it's progressives hating Hillary, or Republicans hating Hillary, or progressives hating Trump. Hate is such a vile, vicious, strong emotion. It becomes encompassing and all-empowering. And I believe that because of the power of hate, that it creates what we hate most, because it's such a consuming intention. And it's important that we pay attention to our dislikes. I don't care if you use the word hate. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the power, that crushing dislike of something so much that it seems almost debilitating to you that that person exists or is. That becomes our all-consuming vision. That becomes the reality of what we create. So I think for all of us, as we head into this month of self-love and this manifesting portion of the year, it would be wise for us to notice where we're putting our passionate dislikes, our passionate hate, if we're using that term or word, our passions against something, because that is a strong intention that creates the reality of what we're against. So how can we reverse that and put love or desire or another positive feeling toward that in such a strong way? Each of us can work that ourselves. But what Unity says in their message to us is to practice peace in this tranquil moment. When we find ourselves getting into that moment, identify it, recognize it, and allow ourselves to seek peace. Or as Joyce has brought out in the world of Tom Moore in his book, The Gentle Way, you know, ask for the most benevolent outcome of whatever it is that you dislike so much that you were almost a moment ago willing to put hate toward it. Discard the hate. Discard that strong emotion. And since I've already mentioned, I'm going to just mention one last thing before I introduce Joyce and your lucky stars. Is that Unity for Today says we are beloved children of the divine, gifted with unlimited grace. maintain that as part of your thought process and say, you will execute and allow yourself to operate from a place of unlimited grace. What do you need to do to make that happen in your life? What do you need to do to be a representative of unlimited grace when things happen to you? Keeping in mind, because we're human, we're allowed to make mistakes. We will make mistakes. We will learn from our mistakes. We won't be perfect in every moment, but we can forgive in every moment and try to be better in the next. And that becomes our intention, our vision, our improvement, and our growth. That being said, let's find out what we have going forward with our special guest today, Joyce Day Muse. Now, Joyce is an ordained metaphysical minister who has been practicing the ancient art of astrology from modern times for many years. She combines an extensive knowledge of the correlation between the planets and human cycles, coupled with her natural rapport, compassion, humor, and understanding of the challenges and opportunities of life. She shares her understanding of astrology for dealing with life's problems with a large following of loyal clients through phone or Skype calls. She also uses tarot cards and psychic awareness to answer any concern or question. Her greatest pleasure in life is helping people find understanding, clarity, and hope about their current situations, families, and relationships. Not all astrologers are created equal, and Joyce Muse will fulfill your highest expectations with her astrological guidance. And she joins us on the fourth Thursday of each month to let us know what the planets have in store. And as an introduction into Joyce Muse today, let's start with some special music that was written by her husband, Peter Muse, called The Travelers.
We are the travelers on the road. We are the travelers on the road. Drinking the sunshine, bathing the moonlight, guided by starlight, warmed by the glow of the hearts of family, returning to their home, vanishing like the stars in the early morning dawn to roam.
Well, Joyce, welcome to Good Vibrations Radio with your lucky stars.
Thank you, Salazar. And thank you for that uplifting and inspiring reminder that hate is not where we want to live.
No.
And during the, you know, the conventions and all the political turmoil, it's so easy to get caught. I mean, to me, it's almost like a sports event, you know, the red team and the blue team. And, you know, it's hard not to get angry at the opposing team and, you know, kind of root for your own team.
Well, especially this political season, it seems like more than any others. And I don't know, does any of this, I may be going in the wrong direction, so you let me know, but is any of this related to, you know, the Pluto retrograde and really that transformation, that rebirth, and the Uranus retrograde, which is going to happen? I mean, is all of this about we have to change how we do things?
Well, the stations of the planets, I don't give so much weight to, other than retrograde Mercury. So Pluto retrograde, you know, it happens every year. The outer planets go retrograde, you know, almost half a year every year. So not every year is the same. Mm-hmm, I mean, mm-hmm. I've been blaming all this intensity and violence on Mars.
In Scorpio? You
know, retrograde Mars. What happens when the planets go retrograde or apparently seem to be moving backwards through the zodiac is that they're not really stopping and going backwards. But it's the, you know, speed of the Earth as compared to the speed of the other planet that makes it appear that they're going backwards. And, you know, Mars was retrograde for quite a while, but it did station direct the last day of June. But when a planet goes retrograde, it slows, you know, when it goes retrograde or direct, it slows down. And as it slows down, it becomes more intense. So that's the part of the retrograde that I think it's true. Like Mars retrograde, it slows way down and its force is more intense. And then it takes a while, even after it's direct, to catch back up to speed. So we're still in that slow-moving Mars, even though it went direct, and it's been direct for almost a month, but it's still in its own sign of Scorpio. So Mars in Scorpio is quite intense. And then I think a lot of what we're seeing, I'm blaming on the aspect between Mars and the planet Uranus. So a few days ago, Mars was quincunx, or 150 degrees from Uranus. Now it's moved 4 degrees past the exact point. So, you know, every day it moves a little more. And then when Mars changes signs, which is coming up pretty quick here, on Tuesday, August 2nd, I think that'll help too, because Mars in Sagittarius is lighter than Mars in Scorpio. You know, Scorpio is so intense and driven. You have a Scorpio moon. I have a Scorpio moon. We can become obsessed over any topic we get involved in.
Not me.
It's what I like about you, Solazar. You're my Scorpio moon brother. You know, and that tendency to, like, hate or just passionately have dark feelings towards something. I mean, that's part of the challenge of the Scorpio moon. You know, I mean, we just feel things so deeply and intensely. And, you know, we work through it. I mean, like Hillary Clinton is our Scorpio candidate. And, you know, she's sure gotten a bad rap for seeming cold and detached and all the things they accuse her of, when really, you know, she's just a woman who's good at what she does and wants to do more of it.
Well, and as a Scorpio, too, I think where people keep saying that she's keeping secrets, she's actually a Scorpio that doesn't reveal things unless they really have to be revealed.
Right.
And so people are acting like she's trying to keep things from us, but she's no different than, you know, we talk about the scorpion and the mouse at the edge of the lake, you know, and the scorpion, and the scorpion says, "Would you take me across the lake on your back?" And the frog. And the frog says, "But you'll sting me and we'll both." He said, no, I can't do that. I wouldn't do that. And halfway across the lake, the scorpion stings the frog. And the frog looks at him and says, "Why'd you do that?" He said, I can't deny my own nature.
Right.
And Hillary is just being who she is without being, it's just that privateness that the Scorpios have. And I'm sorry I launched into that, but it's natural.
No, it's true. You know, it's true. But, you know, why is the presidency a popularity contest? You know, it's a position that requires good manager skills. And, you know, nobody can do it all perfectly. But, you know, she's got a lot going for her, especially that Scorpio nature. That can be a boss, that can be a manager, that can be an administrator, like we saw in Barack Obama. You know, it was just Bill Clinton, Barack Obama are both Leos. They get in the spotlight and they're in heaven. They love it. You know, just like last night when Barack Obama spoke, you know, the cheers were so strong and just went on and on and on. And finally he said, I love you too. So he was just taking in all that love, you know, and Bill Clinton the same way. He got on a stage in the spotlight and, you know, he'd go on and on and on and on. The two of them are orators. You know, they have the gift of performance. They kept bringing up Teddy Roosevelt last night for some reason, and he was a Republican and a Scorpio. And boy, did he get a lot done.
Mm.
You know, he achieved a lot. And I think she could, too, if given the chance. But that Mars quincunx Uranus is still going on. And like you said, it's easy to hate. It's easy to be angry. It's easy to lose it, you know, have a temper fit because of that Mars Uranus, which is going to end when Mars changes signs on Tuesday. So that's a good thing. And we're in the time of Leo, and the day the sun went into Leo early in the morning of July 22nd.
Mm.
And later in the morning is when somebody spotted that Sobrani's fire. So the big fire began as the sun entered Leo. I thought that was pretty interesting.
I hadn't put that together yet. That is interesting.
You know, fire sign, fire.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got Venus and Mercury also in Leo. Because wherever the sun is, Venus and Mercury are close. If they're not in the same sign, they're in the sign before or after the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So they stay close to the sun. Right now they're ahead of the sun, and they'll move into Virgo before the sun moves into Virgo. But, you know, we are in the dead heat of summer with the sun in Leo, and the sun rules the sign Leo. The sun is comfortable in the sign Leo. So dramatic things can happen in July, end of July and August. So we're seeing some of that. And interesting for the election cycle we're in, today Mercury in Leo is making an aspect of tension with Mars.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of setting Mars off again. So, of course, we're going to have, you know, upheaval and drama with Mars and Scorpio and Mercury and Leo in conflict with each other. But like your soothing words reminding me, you know, I don't have to get caught up in this as a negative thing. But somehow human nature, we're attracted to drama. You know, we're attracted to taking sides. You know, duality. I mean, isn't duality the whole lesson of the material plane? You know, that's what we're here to learn how to handle.
Yeah.
You know, there can be black and white in the same picture. There can be things that are right and things that are wrong. And like Obama said in a speech, you know, politics is compromise. You know, there's not one person that can do everything. You know, people need to come together and work together to achieve progress. And I think that's why so many of us find Donald Trump offensive, because he's acting like a Leo. And only I can save America. Only I can make the difference. I mean, he's not a Leo. Everybody thinks this guy's got to be a Leo, you know, because the worst side of Leo is that arrogance and egotism and even narcissism. Not every Leo, of course, but, you know, Leo taken to the extreme is incredibly self-centered.
Yeah.
You know, it is the spotlight sign.
Well, he's kind of like the lion that wants to rule everyone else's den and kingdom, you know, as opposed to even his own.
Well, he has Leo rising, and he has Mars on the ascendant in Leo. So what we see when we see him is Leo. But he's actually a Gemini. And he was born on the full moon with the moon in Sagittarius. And the thing that sets him apart from other Geminis is that the planet Uranus is conjunct his sun and opposite his moon. So all of his behavior that's been analyzed to death, you know, he can't stick to one thing, he jumps from thing to thing, he's erratic, he's impulsive, that's all Uranus. That's the Uranus personality. And strong opinions, rigid, strong opinions. I mean, he's so Uranus in motion. And transiting Uranus is trining his moon, sextiling his sun, trining his ascendant. So Uranus is, what when I look at Trump, I see his Uranus Gemini nature. And it's anything but steady and stable like the Scorpio. You know, she's not running to get suck up all the attention in the room. She's a star because of hard work, effort, and just this dogged, determined, you know, putting herself out there to be a president. You know, it takes something to want to do that job. And it's not the Leo, like Trump, like Bill Clinton, like Barack Obama, who just suck up the attention. For her, I mean, the chart we have for her, and who knows if the birth time is exact, but it makes her a double Scorpio with her son in the 12th house of things hidden. Is she secretive or is she private? You know, is she out for herself or is she out to be of service like a 12th house sun? You know, people with the sun in the 12th house are into selfless service for humanity. And, you know, that's how I think of her. But she's been vilified and vilified and vilified for so many decades. And why are people so against her just on principle? I mean, even up in Canada, some young man came to me and started ranting about Hillary. And it was like, that's not true. It's just not true. But there was an interesting article on Facebook the last few days about the vilification of Hillary. And the psychoanalyst, you know, analyzed what was going on. You know, and it's the fear of a powerful woman. You know, we all were born of a mother, and we were at the mercy of our mother if she got angry or upset with us. So I think Hillary is taking the whole psychic, you know, zeitgeist of this unconscious misogyny, you know, and that's what Barack Obama did. As a black man, you know, yeah,
he revealed the underbelly of racism that was hidden, but it became noted or public again once he became president.
It sure did.
And the misogyny is probably the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, when you hear even what was a Trump's campaign chair or something said they should take her out and shoot her. I mean, what a horrible thing to say. Who said that in a political campaign?
Well, all the stuff that's being said has never been said before.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, Russia comes on Hillary's email.
Yeah, I
mean, and how he gets away with it is beyond me. But my hope, my prediction, as of August 6th, Donald Trump's son has been progressing through the sign of Leo for the last 30 years. It's why he's been on TV. It's why he's been so visible. You know, aside from his whatever mental illness he's suffering from, you know, he just wants to be in the spotlight all the time. As of August 6th, that changes. He progresses out of Leo and into Virgo. So the spotlight's going to be too hot. You know, it might take a few days, it might take weeks, it might take months, but he's going to find himself not wanting to be, you know, on the hot seat day and night, day and night, day and night. Now, I don't know if this progression, you know, I don't think astrology overrules mental illness or sanity. You know, I mean, he could be just so set in his ways that he doesn't even notice he's progressed into Virgo and should be more behind the scenes. But I think he will. I think he will. I remember when my son progressed out of Aries and into Taurus. The 30 years it was in Aries, I would fight with anybody about anything. I was always getting upset and yelling at bosses and, you know, getting fired and drama, drama, drama. And then it progressed into Taurus, and I calmed down. I stopped being this revolutionary warrior that wanted to change the world, and I started noticing how beautiful the trees were, how beautiful the flowers were, you know, how nice diamonds were. Wouldn't I like a diamond? I mean, I never thought twice about jewelry. But my son progressed into Taurus, and I wanted diamonds like my mother and sister have. So, you know, it just, and it wasn't the day it shifted. It took a couple weeks. But then I realized, you know, I don't want to fight with people, except my husband. You know, I want to have a calmer, more peaceful life, enjoying nature and beauty. So those progressions, you progress in, you were born in a sign. I was born a Pisces. When I was 24, I progressed into Aries. And when I was 54, I progressed into Taurus. And then when I'm 84, I'll progress into Gemini. So I should be quite a verbal old lady. But everybody, every 30 years, there's the progression of the sun that changes, subtly changes the influence of your sun sign. Now, the moon sign changes every 2.5 years. So that's a shorter length of time to have this emotional shift. So, what's going on in the stars right now and the planets, I mean, of course, is all this stuff in Leo. We've had Jupiter in Virgo since last September, and it's going to stay in Virgo until this coming September. So we're having August as the last full month of Jupiter in Virgo. And Virgo is kind of a humble sign. It's a healing sign. It's an organizing sign. And you would normally think Jupiter in Virgo should help us get healthier and help us get organized. Well, there's been this, this trend of, you know, organizing books, you know, clear out your closet and pick up everything and see if you love it. If you don't love it, get rid of it. You know, people have been doing more organizing. There's a site I belong to, 40 bags in 40 days. You're supposed to get rid of a bag of stuff a day. Well, that's very Virgo. And Virgo is making an opposition to the small planetary Chiron. Chiron is the wounded healer. Virgo is the healing sign. So Jupiter opposite Virgo, I mean Jupiter opposite Chiron, you know, are kind of working in tandem, you know, to help us with physical healing and spiritual healing. You know, our wounds may be more at the surface. You know, things that are core issues from childhood can pop up and surprise us. And of course, we're having Saturn and Sagittarius for 2.5 years. We're just finishing the first year of Saturn in Sagittarius. And it's also in the mutable sign, a mutable sign, like Jupiter is in a mutable sign. So Jupiter in Virgo and Saturn in Sag are adaptable and changeable. And then we have Neptune in Pisces. So right now, the moon's in Gemini. So tonight we're having the mutable grand cross, and tomorrow. So all these planets and mutable signs are affecting each other. And I was just reading today about the mutable cross, and it seems to coincide with the change in social structure in the United States. All of those bills that Lyndon Johnson got passed in 1964 and 65 coincided with the mutable cross. And in the 30s, when FDR was inventing social change for the modern era, there was also a mutable cross from 1933 to 36. So the good news is, out of all this turmoil and drama, we can hope for progress. You know, that doesn't mean
that's a plus.
Yeah. And we've already seen it with the gay marriage and the legalization of marijuana and, you know, other things. I mean, we've got a lot to deal with all the violence and, you know, the gun incident. But maybe that mutable cross will help us get some good gun legislation so, you know, anybody in any state of mind can't walk into a gun store and buy a gun. You know, it's something that has to happen.
One of the things that people need to keep in mind also is that for this election, it's not just about who you elect as president. We have the opportunity to change the power base in Congress. And
yes,
it's important that we get out and do that, because some of the things that you're talking about, our biggest social changes, well, certainly in the 20th century, have come as a result of Democratic administrations. And if we want to continue social changes in the 21st, right now it looks like it's a Democratic administration that we need to do that. Plus, we're looking at the replacement of certainly Ruth Bader Ginsburg, if not other Supreme Court justices. And if we don't want to be stuck with conservative thinking of twisting the law to meet a political end, we need to put in the right administrations to get the right people on the Supreme Court who look at the law for what it is.
Exactly, exactly. What did they were showing on the convention last night, Truman, and he had the do-nothing Congress. And it was like, we have a do-nothing Congress. You know, we've got to have some change there if we're ever going. I mean, this country is, ungovernable with the division that we have now.
It's interesting. The people who have created the gridlock are complaining about government's inability to do anything.
I know.
How do you do that? How do you wake up in the morning and even face yourself if you do that? I don't know.
Well, you just say what you want to say and pretend it's real, you know, tell your lies. And if you say it often enough, people believe it. I mean, it's kind of a crying shame, but I don't know if you're a Bill Maher fan, politically incorrect.
I are too.
But he was saying, you know, they say states are the laboratory for democracy. And he says, California proves it. We have a Democratic governor and a Democratic legislature. And our economy is doing well. We're making progress. There's, you know, we're like the fifth or seventh largest economy in the world. I mean, it's working to not have spoilers in the system. It doesn't mean every Democrat agrees with every Democrat, but they'll compromise. You know, they'll make deals. That's what politics is. And watching these Bernie or bust kids, I mean, I had a real wake-up call just realizing how much they reminded me of me at a young age when I thought I knew it all and we were going to bring in the revolution and our parents knew nothing and we had to tell our parents where it was at. And it was just like so embarrassing because I see these petulant young people, you know, if Bernie doesn't do it, everybody else is corrupt and evil. I mean, it's so immature, and it makes me realize how we must have seemed to our elders back in the 60s and 70s.
But there's that old phrase that says, you know, at 16, we wonder how our parents made it that far in life knowing so little. And then at 21, we wonder how they learned so much in such a short period of time.
Right. Right, I know. I was very obnoxious. Oh,
yeah, you and me both. But
live
and
learn.
The other thing is, Pence is a good example of what he damaged Indiana significantly as governor, and then we have Brownback in Kansas, who has destroyed the economy of Kansas through the whole air quotes here trickle down economics theory of cut the taxes on the rich. You know, and everything will flow down. And their economy is crashing. They've just gotten another devaluation of their credit standing. I mean,
wow.
You know, so, but they don't get it. It's kind of like, I'm going to say this wrong, but it's kind of like the process even a gambler goes through, or even some of us running a business, and I start sinking money into it. And then we start sinking more money because we say, I've got to put more money because I already put this much money in it. And if I put more money, maybe this will realize it. So we keep throwing more after the bad, and it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's what it seems like many of these Republicans are doing in their drive to force their view of economics that most knowledgeable economists say doesn't work.
Right.
That's what we're fighting for in this election. We're fighting to get back some sanity in the governance.
I know. We need to. It's kind of scary that Congress doesn't do anything anymore.
Excuse me. Yeah, and it's not just about Bernie. I think Bernie did a wonderful thing of awakening the electorate, awakening people, and making them engaged. But this idea of Bernie or bust, it has become very disturbing, as you said, because it's understanding that they did something very powerful and progressive.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually affected changes to the Democratic platform. And they affected changes to Hillary Clinton's positions. And what people are missing is that we make change by inches. We don't necessarily make change by feet.
Right.
And that's what you and I know from years of having been engaged versus when we were 18, 19, and 20, we felt it had to be now.
Right. And exactly how we wanted it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was an old story I heard about Clemenceau, the French leader and diplomat, and may have said that wrong, but supposedly someone came to him and said, Monsieur, your son is a communist. He said, my son is 20. He should be a communist. If he's a communist at 30, I'll disown him.
Well, it was interesting for me to see the vice presidential picks. And what I love about astrology, somebody shows up in the news, you can do a chart and see who is this person. Like Donald Trump picked Mike Pence, a double Gemini. So there they are, two Gemini men. Not that he's going to have a chance to say much, but he's more of a Gemini than Trump. you know, he's just fortunate he doesn't have Uranus on his sun that makes him so erratic and, you know, impulsive and spontaneous. But, you know, he's got that rigid mindset, and he does have Uranus active in his chart. And this Tim Kaine, I was really curious about. Turns out he's a Pisces. Ooh. And his Jupiter, his lucky planet, is exactly on Hillary's sun. So he's such a good partner for her. And when he gave his speech last night, I enjoyed it. I mean, he just reminded me of priests I had growing up. You know, the friendly priests that would hang with the kids and, you know.
Yeah.
It was nice. It was fun. Not that he's not perfectly capable of hard work, but he's on his Saturn return, so he's at a crossroads in his life. He's got Pluto on his Mars, so he's getting, you know, that planet of power aspecting him. So he's going to have to change and grow. It's just interesting. The Pisces-Scorpio combination is so heard so often. And Hillary has a Pisces moon. She's a Scorp with a Pisces moon. He's a Pisces. His moon is in Gemini, almost the same degree as Barack Obama's. And wasn't that speech by Barack Obama amazing?
Yeah, it was.
That guy is such an orator. He just is, you know, probably the best we'll ever see. And to have, you know, everything the Republicans say about him is just so not true. And then Michelle Obama, her speech was transcendent. You know, the two of them did themselves proud.
Yeah. I mean, just when you look at it, there was not, in my opinion, at the Republican convention, there was not a single orator present. There was just a lot of people giving speeches.
I agree.
But there were a lot, and, you know, Michelle certainly a standout, Barack standout. Bill Clinton, I thought, truly created the humanization of Hillary that couldn't be done any other way, and he did it very masterfully. You know, and then, I mean, I loved Cory Booker. I love Cory Booker anyway.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, I mean, but there are were just so many people who really had something of substance to say, and even, it's a very different type of speech, but what Bloomberg shared was very potent, content-filled, and important.
Yes.
You know, this was, I'm a fan of this convention.
Me too.
But I started out biased anyway, so. I admit.
Well,
it.
You know, we're here in our blue state, you know, with our blue government, you know, just wondering when the rest of the country is going to catch up.
Yeah, actually, out of states in the union, I certainly have no problem if Texas should ever secede. I have to say that, and I'm offending somebody right now.
Right.
But I cannot, I have to admit, at different times I've just said, boy, California, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a self-sustaining economy that's not as heavily dependent on the federal government as many other states.
Right.
You know, let's just go and be our own thing. And but of course, I'm not really advocating that. But
no. I mean, my thought months and months ago was, too bad we won the Civil War. We should have let them go.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when we look at it, but, you know, there was an interesting thing at that point in time that sometimes I don't think is as heavily recognized. But it really was also, to say that it wasn't a battle about slavery is ridiculous. Let's not rewrite history. But there was also a battle of commerce. The South was really led in the commerce. Cotton, especially, was a big cash crop overseas. It brought a lot of business to the United States. And northern industries were not as competitive as the southern plantations were in terms of overall commerce.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of that is still the history within the South of resentment against the war in general. Is that really it gave the North an economic advantage over the South when the South lost that war?
Yeah.
And I think that's why today, I mean, Mississippi is probably the poorest state in the Union. Alabama's right. Not too far behind. Mm-hmm. They have so little economically going on in those states. And it astonishes me because they're more interested in maintaining an old way of thinking than they are in improving their overall economic status.
Well, I'm encouraged by all my friends from California that have moved to North Carolina, like Julie. And I have another friend there, and another friend moved to Kentucky. It's like these liberals are sprinkling themselves into the South, and I think that's what it's going to take. And maybe it's going to take a generation. But when you look at the chart of the USA, and actually that's such an important chart because if a candidate's own natal chart does not communicate with the USA chart, they're not going to be president. But both Hillary and the Donald have connections. But with Donald Trump, it's Mars. His son is on the USA's Mars. And when I look at that, I see war.
Yeah, oh God, yes.
If he's the president, there will be war. And Hillary's, what is her connection? Well, she's got a planet, her Mars-Pluto conjunction is conjunct the north node of the USA. And what else does she have? So the USA doesn't have Scorpio in it. It has Sag rising. And what's going on for the USA is Saturn's on our ascendant almost exactly. So the USA is having this cycle that in a person's chart would say the old life is ending. A new life is going to begin. We don't know what that new life is going to look like, but the old life is over. And that's what's happening in our national chart. The old last 29 years is over. We're starting a new 29-year cycle. And part of it is redefining what it means to be an American. And that's what Barack Obama's speech was all about last night. We are America, even though we don't look like it looked in the 50s. It's more inclusive. You know, women can have a voice. Different races can have a voice. Different classes can have a voice. And if, you know, somebody went into the Republican Party and said, stop hating, you know, wouldn't that be nice that they could participate too instead of being a block or a barrier to progress? Because, you know, it is a collaborative effort. And the USA's been having transiting Pluto opposite the sun. So that's another reason we're seeing so much conflict and divisiveness. Pluto opposite the sun is a power struggle. And Pluto's squaring our national Saturn. So, you know, we're feeling the hurt, we're feeling the pain. You know, but it's not Obama's fault. Does anyone remember the 8 years before Obama? I mean, for God's sake, war, unpaid for wars, tax breaks for millionaires. I mean, just ridiculous, ridiculous, ridiculous.
Yeah, we went from a budget surplus to a deficit.
Right. In minutes, it seemed like. In minutes. And even if it wasn't W, it was that Cheney guy, you know, the puppet master, you know, the personification of doom and evil. And compared to Trump, even he looks mild. Because he may have been a sociopath, but he wasn't a Uranian.
Oh, Well, Joyce, this has truly been fun. Any final thoughts before we cut away for the show close? How can people get in touch with you?
Oh, people can call me anytime at area code 831-236-6572 or email me at yourluckystars1@gmail.com. yourluckystars1@gmail.com. So the things coming up in the new month, the sun will go into Virgo, Venus will go into Virgo, Mercury will be in Virgo all month. So we're going to go from Leo to Virgo like we do every summer. Saturn will station direct the middle of August. That will be good. And we're going to have a rough couple of days, August 23rd, 24th, when transiting Mars conjunct Saturn. And the big news in August is the lunar eclipse, a lunar eclipse on the full moon on August 18th. So eclipses are always wild cards, and they can trigger new action. Doors open, doors close. So that's coming up. And thank you so much, Solazar, for staying on the line with me and giving me someone to talk to.
Yeah, this was fun.
Good.
I enjoyed it, and thanks so much for doing this every month. It's so great to hear what you have to offer, and this was really chock full.
Yes, we'll do it again next month.
Okay. Thanks so much, Joyce. Bye-bye.
So
we want to let folks know that this will replay, by the way, tomorrow, 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific, as well as Saturday evening, 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific. So you can hear more from Joyce Muse and Pacific Astrology if you missed pieces of it, because there was so much information that you'd probably want to grab a hold of and make sure you get your notes. Don't forget, you can get in touch with Joyce by visiting Pacific Astrology also on Facebook and get in touch with her. Get your personal chart. Find out what's going on with you. I'm a firm believer that wherever we can find those tips and guidance about what's going on with us, it's always helpful. And Carl Jung himself was an astrologer. He believed that all techniques should be used to work on the guidance and understanding of our lives. And I'm a firm believer in that. And I want to close out today with a very special song from John Mayer. So thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio. We'll be back Tuesday with Kirilani and more Go With The Flow, 5 to 6 Pacific Time. And as we close out today, I want to play John Mayer and Waiting on the World to Change, because the point is, we make the change in the world. So let's listen. Many blessings to you. Namaste.